Welcome into this very special bonus edition of the Mom Game. This is just like Taylor Swift had to release this album for her life or whatever. I had to do this podcast, this bonus podcast, because there's so much to process with the new Taylor Swift album. And Emily, while she likes Taylor, she opted out of trying to break down every song. So I had to bring in an expert. And this is Alex Snyder. She is my guest for the day. And she's also our awesome nanny for the Forbes family. And probably the number one, well, definitely the number one Swiftie that I know. Hi, Alex.
Hi, I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for having me. I didn't think we were going to be unpacking this much in this episode, but I'm ready and I'm willing.
Okay, well, I'm so excited. I know. And we'll keep this one like about 30 minutes, and maybe we'll have to do another sometime because there's no way to get through all of this in 30 minutes. And I don't know that I'm not ready for that. I don't know if you're, I don't know how much work you've been doing, but okay, I have to set the scene a little bit for Alex and for our listeners who don't know Alex and don't know about you and your story and us and everything, just real quick. So Alex is kind of the reason why I became a Swiftie.
Crazy, because you're such a Swiftie now. Like,
I am. It's so weird.
It's so weird. Tell me new things about Taylor nowadays. So that's like crazy to me to think that you weren't a Swiftie.
I know. And I don't know how many like 33, 34, whatever year old women like convert past being the age of 34 or whatever. It's usually younger people, but I don't know. Now Taylor's 34, so I think that there's a whole nother demographic of Swifties perhaps, but, okay. So Alex invited Anna and I to the Eras tour when it was in Arlington, and the concert was night two in Arlington. It was on April 1st, which is crazy that it's been a year, but for that, the last year since then, I've been super obsessed with Taylor, mostly because I was just so impressed with what I saw live in person. It made me want to dig back into like a lot of her music that I had never listened to. I knew how enthusiastic Alex was about it. Alex was like spreading the Taylor love with my daughter, Anna. So it just was fun that it's kind of been like a fun adventure for the three of us. But Alex, I want you to tell everybody what you did to like consume this album and kind of like what your routine is when a new album comes out, and I guess like why you love Taylor so much.
Yeah, so I have been a Taylor Swift fan my whole life. I got her first CD debut when it came out. Like, I mean, I have still the physical CDs. I would play it on a CD player. She would, even back in the day before her Easter eggs were a big, big thing, you know, even just the printed CDs, she would have her lyrics and she would capitalize certain letters in the lyrics on the CDs and fans would spell out words. So she, like, I was ready with all the mastermind stuff that she was putting out early on. And I just kept that Taylor train going. I used to live in Australia, and so we didn't have the time drops of the albums at the same time. So when I came back and there was a new album, I was said, I have to watch this like right away. And so my best friend, Emma, who's also a huge Swiftie, she and I will pull up the lyric videos at the premiere of the album and watch them all together. So she moved to Seattle about 2 years ago and she has flown in for the other album reveals. And so I got to this weekend fly in and we watch it start to finish. Taylor posts these awesome lyric videos on her YouTube. And so you can see like really all the vernacular she uses and kind of emotions through that. And I mean, that was what my whole trip was, just to go watch this album. So it's definitely a holiday for me.
Oh, I love that. So I was listening to it and I just was thinking about you and I was like, oh my gosh, what is Alex thinking right now? So first of all, we had the big giant surprise. We knew there was gonna be something at 2 a.m.
Yes.
And she was doing this ever since her like Grammys acceptance speech and dropping little two hints everywhere. Yep. And so then we learned that there was gonna be another drop at 2 a.m. Were you thinking that this could possibly be a whole nother like album essentially, or what were your thoughts?
Okay, so you know, Taylor likes to mess with us. There's definitely a parasocial relationship that us fans have with her, absolutely. And so you're always looking for little clues. And she was doing a lot of those things, like you said, the twos. She was alluding to doubles a lot. And so I personally thought maybe she would do a surprise release of the re-record of Reputation. it just sort of made sense in the era that she was in. I did not think it would be a double album, but I thought maybe at 2 a.m. she would say, surprise, here's Reputation as well. But I distinctly remember when we were listening, because we would pause a song, so we were a little bit, minutes behind. And so we had a few songs left till 2 a.m. And then Emma had just looked down at her phone and her eyes went big. And I said, I just stopped breathing. I said, what? Like, that mean my hair is on my arm stuck up. I just said, what is it? Like, I had just been crying and laughing and screaming. Like, I went through so many emotions in these 2 hours. I wasn't ready for more. And all she just said, she just goes, it's a double album. And I just fell to the floor. And I said, how many more? F 15 more. Her longest album. Oh my gosh, it was an emotional roller coaster. Let's just put it like that.
Yeah. And Taylor like planned it that way, like for the people, right, that she knew would be listening from beginning to end, like right whenever they finished the first 15 songs, they would get, bombarded with a
Exactly.
whole nother double album. Like,
She
so
did that
she was
with Midnight.
visualizing what you guys were doing.
Yeah, she did that with Midnights, and it wasn't a full double album, but it was extended. So I think there were like, I can't remember exactly, but there was less than 10 additional songs. But that was released at 3 a.m. And so I wasn't even awake for that 3 a.m. one when it first happened. Like, this is her first time, or that was her first time she'd ever done a double, but not to this extent. I mean, her biggest album was Red, and it was 30 songs, and 31 songs plus a music video is just only something a mad woman can do, and I respect it.
It's crazy. Okay, so let's get into it a little bit. So just like kind of I want to know your overarching impressions of the album, and I'll tell you mine because mine's like brief. But first of all, obviously it's like it's really good. It seems like it's really, really deep. It's very emotional. It's like she is not disguising anything about how she's feeling. But my biggest like shock, I guess, to me is how much freaking Maddie Healy stuff there is.
That makes two
So
of us,
that was,
Julie. That makes two of
yeah,
us.
right. And I'm like, like a lot of people probably didn't realize, of course, that this was like such an ongoing thing in her life. And all we saw was like that little window of time, like that fortnight, if you will, of time whenever he went to some of her shows at the beginning of the Eras tour, and I think she went to one of his shows. They did the thing on stage to each other. I love you. You know who you are, or whatever. And it was kind
Yeah,
of like,
Julie is a
what?
Swiftie, guys. You hear this? Like, oh my God.
Yes. And so we saw that, but then it was so weird because she kept going on tour, and everyone almost like forgot that that even happened. It was like, well, that was weird, but that no one really understood or whatever. And then of course she met Travis, and then everyone's been obsessed with that relationship. And so it was almost like this little window of time that. I know I'm not a like as hardcore, but it seemed like people just kind of breezed over that as like, well, that was weird, whatever. But turns out like he had like such a hold on her, and more of this album, in my opinion, seems like it's about him than it is Joe after the 6 year relationship. And she's so pissed at him, like she's so
So bad.
pissed. It's like God. So anyway, that to me was like the biggest like shock. I was like, whoa, I did not expect this. And I don't necessarily like think he's like cute or cool or anything. So what I find myself, and I hate to say this, Alex, but like some of the songs about him, I'm like, I
Yeah.
don't want to spend this time like immersing myself in their relationship because it's kind of gross to me. But then when you can get beyond that, obviously it's like the writing and everything is so amazing. So anyway, that was my like biggest takeaway. Of course, I love it. My favorite songs are like the most upbeat ones, and the ones about Travis, which was a whole nother thing. Like we got two songs about
Oh,
Travis. So anyway, that's kind of where I'm at, and I've been listening to it all weekend, but I haven't been able to really like dissect anything,
it's
kids
a
life, all
lot. I
that.
mean, it's like I've
Yes.
already listened to the album multiple times through, and like I had to take a breather yesterday because I was like, it's a lot. Like, it's a lot of
Yeah.
words. I mean, a lot of people said they had to get their dictionary for this one. Us linguistic people loved that. But it's a lot. So I would say I've got so many thoughts, but a lot of it is so similar to you. I think that I held out. I had this naive ignorance to me that I was like, there's no way Maddie was that big of a part of her life. I think I was like you. I definitely held out being like, I thought it'd be more about Joe, more about Travis. And when the first song, Fortnite, started playing, I recognized it as a 1975 kind of beat. immediately. Taylor's very,
Really?
yeah, Taylor's really known for trying to not mimic the styles, but incorporate some of the styles of people that she's dated into her work as sort of a like an homage to them. And so, for example, John Mayer, she has done songs like in acoustic style, and that
Yeah.
sound like John Mayer to kind of hint it's at him. It's like more layers of her Easter eggs. But
Weird.
you could tell immediately in the first two songs, I said, this is the 1975 sounding. If the first two songs in the title track are the 1975 sounding, like this is a Matty Healy album. So I was in denial. I was in the denial stage for the first few songs. And it was a bit, I don't want to say disappointed it was about him. At first, I think I was. But honestly, after a few more listens, I feel like it made me appreciate the album and Taylor as an artist tenfold over. Because she's over here like, look, even me, even I can get down bad for an icky 3 month situationship, albeit, they've had probably off and on situationship for the last 10 years. But she's saying, look, like even me, even who you all love and obsess over and think can do no wrong, even I can be in the trenches for a man that does not deserve me to be in the trenches for. And I feel like it made her so much more relatable, and it made the work seem more authentic. What tortured poet is, aesthetic with everything and has dates all the right guys and makes all the right decisions. This brought out the messiness in her life, and with her being like, yeah, this is part of my brand and I'm not going to pretend it's not anymore. And you're gonna have to deal with it. And I kind of think that this album was a message to her fans as much as it was a breakup album. I think it was an album saying, listen, guys, I don't really, for lack of a better word, I don't give a crap what you guys think. And I'm gonna do what I wanna do, and you're gonna love
How
it.
did that make you feel, Alex, as
Honestly,
a fan?
I respected
Just
it. I respected it. Like, it's her life. And we, us Swifties, can get a little over our heads sometimes. We go down that rabbit hole. She loves it though. I think that's what makes Swiftie fans so unique, is that Taylor's one of the most engaging artists with her fans. She makes her music interactive. She wants them to play games along, just the marketing along this with all the games. Like, it's very interactive and it's very with us and we're very involved. And I think that to some extent, we take advantage of that and then hold unnecessary expectations on her, want her to date who we want to do, but only for so long, because everybody loved Joe, but now everyone hates Joe. And I think it honestly made me reflect on myself a little bit as well and be like, girl, you're so bothered that the first two songs were about this guy you don't even like. She says, I don't care. But daddy, I love him. So
Yeah.
I really had now love it. But in the first 2 minutes of listening to that album, I had the ick. I had the ick.
Well, in the But Daddy, I Love Him song, like that's the one where she really seems to kind of be calling out her fans. She says, like, the Hannahs and the Sarahs or whatever the names are in their Sunday best,
Yeah,
and
she's
that
name dropping in this album. She's not
she's
afraid.
named, she's like making fun of like all the like perfect families that say, we love Taylor Swift or whatever. And they're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that she would date him. Or like I did to you before we even went live. Like, I can't believe there's so many F-bombs. You know, like, what about the kids? And she's kind of just saying, like, I don't care. Like, this is me. And I'm not going to like hide who I really am because of all of you people that I don't even know. And she's at a place where she can do that. Like, people are so into her and obsessed with her and will go with probably her, even if she's essentially making an album or at least a one single all about like how she's feeling bitter towards her biggest fans. Like, that part caught me off guard.
It felt very much breaking the fourth wall. Like, she says, but daddy, I love him. I'm having his babies. No, I'm not, but you should see your faces. Like, that is incredible. She's like, got you. And I remember all of us were just dying laughing at that point, but it's like she knows that we are going to go down the rabbit hole. We're going to be Sherlock Holmes on it. So she's like, you're already going to do this regardless. So I'm going to have a little fun with you at your own expense. And then now you can kind of see what it's like on my end. And I just felt like that made us a bit more connected to her as an artist and as an authentic person, while also letting her establish boundaries, because we get a little cuckoo.
And I think it's important too, like, I guess it was at the whenever she released the album. I don't know, there's so many like notes to people that she writes with different editions of the album or whatever. I can't really keep a track.
Yes.
I think that was the note, like, for the main album. That was basically, like, that everything I'm writing is in basically in the past, and I'm putting it on paper so I can leave it in the past.
Yeah.
And she wants to reiterate that, like, all of these feelings, especially about, I would hope, Maddie and everything like that, is not where she's at anymore. But I do feel like people... because now my Twitter algorithm is, like, all
same.
So, like, I see a bunch of stuff, and I feel like people are, there are some people that are up in arms about, like, how passionate she was about this guy, and now she's with Travis, and, like, that whole thing is just, I don't know, maybe a little bit weird, but I think that's why she wanted to make sure that everybody knows, and, like, she's probably gonna have to keep reminding people or whatever. Like, this is all over. Like, this isn't me anymore. I've moved on. And I also think that's probably why she wanted to post that that YouTube short where it showed her, like, happy and her with Travis and her playing pickleball and all of that.
And she never posts with a partner. Like, I of course, I have her notifications on because I'm delusional like that. And so I got a notification 7 minutes ago, Taylor posted a story, and I click it, and it was her little short, and Travis is kissing it, her in it, and I was shocked because, you know, a big part of the Taylor Joe lore, as one might say, is that their whole relationship was in secret, and, you know, they had, their love was just for them, and it wasn't out and about, because, you know, she knows it's going to be dissected. He liked that kind of quiet lifestyle more. And now that not only is she out in public with Travis Kelce and, like, kissing him and all that, she's posting herself on things that, like, that come from her primary point of view of them together, which is, you know, for all of us in this digital world who are used to posting every little bit of their lives, it's not a huge deal, but for her it is. And so when I saw her post, I honestly forgot she was with Travis for a second because she only had two songs about him. But I liked that. Like, I feel like you said, she's laying it all out there. She's putting it in the past, but she's also putting it out there. She's like, this is what really happened. I've learned my lesson. I moved on. I'm in this good relationship now, but I still had to process all of this big stuff before I could really solely dedicate myself to that. And I think it's craziness. I just still so many thoughts.
Okay, what all do you want to get out there? Do you want to go through songs, like, or first of all, like, maybe a couple of your songs?
Yeah, I want to know what your favorite songs are first, and then I'll tell you mine.
Okay, so like I said, like, I don't know. I think gotten really into folklore, like, late to the game folklore, have been listening to a lot of that sound, where it's like her just kind of singing out, like, we were talking about it on the radio for a little bit, as much as they would tolerate me talking about it on the radio, and, like Jeff said, and I thought it was a good point, it was like, it's almost like she's journaling and then, like, setting it to music. And so I feel like I was almost like wanting a different sound a little bit because of the way that I consumed folklore, which was recently. So I was kind of looking for the ones that maybe stood out as a little bit different would be the ones that, you know, my favorite one, I think, Do It With a Broken Heart. I think that's the one I keep going back to. And because it's just totally, well, for one, it's recent. Like, it's so real because we were at one of those shows and we followed those shows. You had me live streaming things at night all over the world. And so you watch the show, you become obsessed with it. And you're like, damn, like, she is, I love that she's calling her, like, she's like, look how good I am. I'm fighting through all this and I'm still destroying. And then I hit all my marks or whatever. I'm like, F yeah. Like, I'm proud of you that you can say that. But just the sound was different, and it was, maybe you can tell me wrong or right or wrong, but it was like 1989-y for me.
Yeah, a little bit. No.
And you, I think, such a, I love
it. It's crazy what, like, hearing you talk about it, because, like, you know so many niche things now. Like, That's a 1989-esque song because Jack Antonoff is the producer, and Jack Antonoff's first album with Taylor was 1989. So it's like, you are such a Swiftie. It like warms my heart.
Nobody else can understand, Alex. Nobody, no. Everybody just rolls their eyes at me.
It takes, so actually, you'll love this. Emma's dad is a big Swiftie. Like, she got him into it. So he listens to every album beginning to end, does rankings, like the whole night.
Nice.
Gives his take. So he's right there with us. And people always want to hate from outside the club when they can't even get in. You know, you can't even be a Swiftie. You have to work for it. And if you're going to hate on it, that's just because you're not chosen. You're not one of the chosen. So you're chosen, Julie, and I love it.
Thank you, Alex.
Dancing with it reminds me of Dancing with a Broken Heart, or Dancing with My Hands Tied, a song of hers. But I also thought this would be a song that Anna would love. I figured this would be this song of like a world kind of esque, and Anna loves that. Song. Anna is such a Swiftie. The video you posted of her the next morning was hilarious.
Isn't that amazing?
You couldn't even process it. You could see her eyeballs. She's and just... like, what do you mean? Girl, same. That's exactly what I looked like on the floor on Thursday night.
I bet.
In terms of my favorite songs, I'm definitely a sad girl Swiftie. Like, Folklore is my favorite album. So I am a lyricism Swiftie. My favorite part of her writing is her words. Obviously, that's her big thing, but... So Folklore, Evermore, that's kind of my
So you my probably niche. Love and all so this. Yeah.
I love it. Are you kidding me? A tortured poet? If I'm one thing, first, I'm a Swiftie. If there's a second thing, is a tortured poet, my friend. I love it. And I was so nervous going in, but it kind of gave me a mixture of Midnights and Folklore with somewhat of a... like a cowboy twinge that would come in here and there. So I liked a lot of the songs. I really tried to like rank them all, or not even, I haven't ranked them properly, but I tried to rate them out of 10, and you could tell like as the night got later and later, the words got blurrier and it got a little hectic, but I...
What's the drink of choice while consuming an album?
Okay, well, it depends on the album. This one, of course, this one was red wine, of course.
Okay.
You know, we started with some espresso martinis because we were like, we don't know what way the album could go. It could be a bit Midnight-y, it could be 1989. And then we heard, you know, the track 5, and it went straight to the red wine after that. We had to take the bottle.
So that sounds appropriate.
Right? So I've got a few favorite songs. I really liked her track 5s. Taylor is known for putting her kind of most emotional song or heart-wrenching song or really one that like gets you as her track 5. This one, her track 5 was So Long London. That one got me. I also, disclaimer, when I lived in Australia, I had a partner there and he and I moved in together and we lived together and... it just made me think of when we broke up and I left Australia. That's just a dog. It made me just think of that. And I was kind of coming into this album thinking, oh, well, it's a tortured poet. Will it be applicable? And a lot of people are coming into this thinking it's too specific. It's not universally applicable. But I found so many relations to it. So I really liked So Long London. I love Down Bad. I love Down Bad. It is such a bop. It's just like so exciting. It kind of gives me vibes of Karma from Midnights. I love The Prophecy, her shortest song on the album. The Prophecy is, it's a slow one. It's a sad one, but it's heart-wrenching lyrics. I love
her Element for...
Yeah, she's like, I'm changed the prophecy. She's like, change the prophecy. I just someone who wants my company. It's basically just about wanting to be able to change the future and be able to like be chosen and be able to be picked and like be in that relationship and that loving relationship you see all your other friends in. I mean, you know, she's best friends with Blake Lively, and like they've got this gorgeous relationship. And you know, Jackie Antonoff just got married to Margot Qualley. Like she's a lot of that, and she's known as being the serial dater in the media. And like she's like, I thought I had it this time, and I still didn't have it.
So she
So
wrote
I
that
really like,
be Travis.
yeah, and like that's what I'm saying, that the prophecy ended up bringing out Travis. So I've got a lot of those like songs I do like. I love I'm Gonna Get You Back. I feel like that's gonna be my tipsy getting ready for the bar drink. Like that is a fun one. And I will say though, Julie, I do
Yeah.
have two cringe songs.
Oh, okay. I
I
like
have
this.
two cringe songs. I don't want to say cringe necessarily because my girl Taylor, I love you. You're not cringe. But the Travis songs,
You don't
the
like
two
them?
Travis songs. Okay, I don't dislike them. I love the beat of Alchemy. The first half of the Alchemy is awesome, but then the second half with the bridge and where she's talking about being on the league and on the team and then like beer sticking on the floor, it felt cringy, but I also see
A
why
little
it made.
cheesy.
Yeah, it was just cheesy. It felt cheesy, and it felt like a lot of people were making fun of her potential album, saying like
Yeah.
they were gonna be like, oh, my Travi made it to the big game. Like they were kind of making fun of the cringy lyrics that would happen. Part of me thinks that did she hear them do that and include one of these songs to kind of just mess with them? I don't know, but
Right.
I still like
'Cause she
I get
says,
it because
yeah.
she's like cringy in love now, which is why that makes sense. Like there's all these like deep, meaningful, heart-wrenching, breaking, kind of messy songs, and then she's got two a little bit cheesy ones, which just show like you can get into the cringy part of love after heartbreak. And so I don't dislike them on the album. They make sense, but they're when they were playing, you can there is a point you can see my face because I do record every viewing, of course. And my face just goes off, and Emma's like, "You're cringed out, aren't you?" And she could just see it on my face that I like felt it in my bones that it was cheesy, but I still like them. They're just
Was
they
that
wouldn't be
in
my
So High
tops.
School? I guess both.
Yeah,
The
yeah. I So High School is my least favorite.
Oh, really? It is
Yeah.
I so much. So she was, that she and that maybe she feels like finally she doesn't have to have all these layers of emotion when it goes along with like dating someone. Maybe you can just be
Exactly.
happy. Like I like it. But yes, I see what you're saying. Like the lyrics are just, they're nothing like the lyrics, the depth of the lyrics in but I love how she references that Kiss Mary Kill video, which was
Yes,
circulating where the
iconic.
reporter was asking him about who he would kiss, marry, or kill, and he said, whatever. It just shows like how online she is.
Yeah, she is on, she sees everything. And I agree with you exactly. Like you put it very well that she's showing to the world like a lot of people were making fun of Travis for not being that deep. Like he's a football guy, whatever, but that's like you said, she's like, "Oh wait, I can actually just do that. Like I don't have to be with another tortured poet." I think maybe that is what shows like Matty Healy, tortured poet. Joe Alwyn, tortured poet. She's been with a lot of those people. And I think that now she's saying, like, I can just be, cheesy in love to feel like I'm high school and being like silly little pop song. And like, that is just the epitome of it. And that's why I like it. I like the songs for her. It makes me happy for her. And it makes sense for why she included them and didn't remove them. It's just not the songs I would turn to.
Right, that makes sense.
But I will still bop. I'll still be dancing.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Did you have
It's kind
anyone
of
you
crazy
didn't
too.
particularly like?
Let's see. I said, the ones about Maddie, I just get tired of. Like I'm like I know she's moved. It's like something mental. I'm like, I know she's moved on, so I don't want to get all hung up on their mess. As like a
I know.
person. And I do, I like to, my life is very busy and stressful. So it's like I like to use music as an escape. And sometimes I don't want to go to that world where it's like a depressing world just because I don't want it to put me in that place. I want to like be happy. And so I can find myself maybe like skipping few of those. Like, Country Post Apartments actually started to grow on me. But I'm kind of like, once I get through Fortnite and I'm like, okay, this was mostly Maddie. Because my Alexa goes in order, right? And so then the second song, it's like about Maddie again. I'm like, I don't want to find here. And then I get to Down Bad and I'm like, hell yeah. Like, even though it's sad and she's probably still very sad about Maddie, I'm like, at least this one I can jam out to. Long London, it's like, that's not about Maddie. Very sad still. And it's almost like chorusy. Like the beginning of it, it's like, so long, London. It's like you'd hear it in a church, you know?
Well, actually, if you replay the beginning of that song, you get those, like, like you said, church vocals. And then she has the beat. That beat is the same beat to Call It What You Want, which is her Reputation love song about Joe. It goes like, and I'll send you the actual song, but it's the exact same beat, just sped up to Call It What You Want. And that's like her big love song about him. And the way that, like, when you're touching on the songs about Maddie versus Joe, the way that she incorporates other songs to tell us what this song is about or hint towards it is fascinating. But at the same time, it also kind of seems like a big, for lack of a better word, F you to Joe. Because she's like, look, I'm going to make it clear that these ones about you that are kind of rough, I'm going to make it clear that it's about you. I'm going to put clips of old songs written about you. I'm going to make it clear. But even though all y'all thought this was going to be about Joe, even though all you guys thought, I'm going to give him just a middle finger and it's going to be about a situationship instead. You thought this 6-year relationship is going to take away an out? Absolutely not. I'm going to give you a middle finger and I'm going to make it about someone you guys don't even like. And then I'm going to put that chapter behind me. He gets no more moments of my time. And to start looking at it from that perspective, it was interesting to me because now I see the songs about Maddie Healy as more like as Taylor was clearly in her, not in her healing era. She's in her healing era now, but she was not in her healing era. And she did self-destructive behaviors with self-destructive people and things that maybe she wouldn't be so proud of as like an ex, or when you're breaking up, you want to be the bigger person, what have you. But she's like, I'm still going to like make this album about that. I'm not going to shy away from that. And I'm going to not let this man take any more of my time. So because of that, some of the sad songs still kind of get me bopped. Because I feel like, okay, I'm like, oh, this is like me having gossip with my girlfriend and she's letting me know about this guy that's crap that she went on a date on when we all told her not to. And she just keeps texting him. We all hate it. But like, we know she's going to get over it. We know she's going to get out of this relationship. We know she's going to have a good guy in the end. But she's going to have to just deal with her messiness now. And that just made me feel like she's one of my girls. We're just kikiing together. We're just talking about the man in this world. And we're like, he's trash. On to the next.
Did you say kiki? I love that.
I did say kiki, of course.
Yeah. Let's have a kiki.
Let's have a kiki. Yeah. This album was a kiki, for sure.
Yeah. You're right. She's bringing everybody into, like, all they know everything she was feeling throughout all of this. Because throughout all of this too, it's like you're looking for any little photo and analyzing it and trying to figure out what's going on. And she doesn't do many interviews or posts, like you said, on social media. And then it's like everything comes out in the albums, like everything. It's like, oh, okay, so when we saw this picture, this is how you were feeling, you know. And she even with the Travis songs, like, wrote to the things that were on the internet. Like, she wrote to the shot of them leaving Saturday Night Live when they're holding hands. He opens the door for her and pulls her into the car. Like, she's like, you open the door for me, how sweet, or whatever. Like, she's writing to the clips that all
I didn't even clock that.
Yeah.
Really? You're so
I know. I didn't even clock that. Trying to, like, everyone trying to decipher on the internet. The other thing, Alex, I'll say about So High School is because she did say, was it in So Long London where she said, I'm just pissed that you took 6 years of my youth, which that line is like
for free.
And so first of all, like, that line is, I think a lot of people could relate to, because who, like, who didn't have like a long relationship that you're like, damn, I wish I could have that time back. Like I was young and had energy. It was like fun and all that. But so high school parallel to that, because it's like, okay, I've got my youth back and now we're like, I feel like I'm in high school and that's how carefree I am. Like all that, those 6 years that he took for me, like, look, I'm back there with Travis and I'm feeling young and carefree and so I like that,
and that
kind of correlation
of it. Like, it's not like stolen from her. Like she's had so much stolen from her now that she's like, yeah, I can go be cheesy and love and so high school and not like all these deep levels. Like you don't need to get a dictionary out for this song. You can just listen to it and enjoy the love. And I think that inclusion on the album is indicative of the album's kind of message as a whole. A lot of people I'd noticed, or critics mm-hmm. in general, talked about how I think the New York Times put out a report that said that it felt unedited, and it felt like she had some fluff in there, or she had some things that weren't necessary, and that's why every single song isn't her 100% best song. Which I wholeheartedly disagree with, because the whole point, like you said, it's like writing in a diary. When you're a poet, mm-hmm. you're writing in a diary. It's meant to be messy. It's meant to be unfiltered. Poets have deep thoughts, deep feelings. Naturally, that's going to get tangled in other things, and it's not always going to be polished. And then sometimes it's going to be a little bit like really, really happy. Let me get all these feelings out. Just like get the thoughts on this paper. And I think that she has intention behind every single word. I definitely think she spent much time editing these, but I think that she did make it seem a little bit more messy, a little bit more a little bit more unedited, a little bit more unfiltered with the language, with the call outs, with the name drops, with the details, like the Kiss, Marry, Kill, because she really wants it to be like the emotional roller coasters and up and down that a poet does. It's not this pristine, all cookie cutter thing, which is, I think that a lot of people thought Midnights was supposed to be the messy one and what unfiltered,
but right. This is messier.
No, this is so much messier. Like Midnights is more like I'm in my, you know, post breakup era and it's all about, but I'm almost forcing myself to make it this. That's how I kind of felt. Like it's like I'm almost forcing it to be all highs and all extremes and all whatever and filtered and edited. Whereas this one, she goes, I'm going to lay it all out there. And yeah. We're going to see. I mean, even for example, vinyls take months to print. They take months to print. So she would have had to have some of these songs like 5 to 6 months ago. And I think that's why she did a double album, because the second half of the album aren't on the vinyl records yet. And so these are stuff that she like felt needed to be added.
She
later.
Wanted to get some Travis songs exactly. in. She really did.
And then she wanted to be added later, but she's like, I need to show you like the two different parts of my healing and the two different ways they're like messy and unedited. So I think that really this whole album as a whole is just meant to show you it's kind of like a threefold. I take three big takeaways. I take it as she's going to really just clarify what the hell happened with her relationship. She's going to confirm, deny, encourage, whatever. She's kind of, this is her answer to a lot of our speculation. It's also mm-hmm. her trying to show a more authentic version of herself, unedited, unscripted, not afraid of the ups and downs, not afraid of the different emotional depths and roller coasters. And then I think it's also a message to our fans of mm-hmm. this is who I really am. Take it or leave it. And also stop bothering me, because I'm tired of all your bitching and moaning. You're never going to be mm-hmm. happy at what I'm doing. I'm just going to do it. Come along for the ride. I'm happy to have you. But if not, oh, well.
And she'll be okay.
And she'll be okay. And the fact that she still has re-record albums coming after this, like, blows my mind, because I truly do think that this is going to be, like, one of her Magnus Opus work. Like, I think that this is going to go down in history of her album writing, her songwriting, everything. And I'm just really excited for award season to come around and see how this one hits.
I know, it's crazy to see how she's going to follow it up. And then, I mean, she's got to have an album full of bops with her happy phase with Travis at some point. She has to do that.
Well, yeah, she's got to. I mean, I cannot imagine what a Travis solo album was going to be like. Like,
yes.
Just thinking about the features too, I feel like she would feature a lot of like artists he would like, or even put like little clips of maybe, you know, whistles in the background, because in that, you know, that song that she talked to the song, your favorite song, they actually have her ear counting. So in she has to wear an inner ear monitor during things, and they count 1, 2, 3, 4, and you can hear it sampled
just
on the
like
song.
when she's performing.
Exactly. So I'm thinking, I can't imagine what random samples, what whistle blowing, what like football sounds will be in the new album. But I know that, I think that, like you said, she's closed this chapter, she's shown her heart, and I don't think that her next album with Travis will be completely negate, like completely ridden of sad songs. I think there will still be a lot of reflections and other things, but I'm intrigued to see where we go now. I feel like it's A, it's like before, like BC and AD, it's like BC before Christ, but before the Torture Poets Department, AD after the Torture Poets Department.
Wow, yeah,
it's like two
probably so.
different eras of her, literally. So
yeah,
I'm hyped.
I am too. Alex, thank you so much. It was so fun, like, breaking it down with you. We could have talked forever, and maybe we can do it again sometime or do a part two or something, because this was really great. I loved hearing all of your thoughts on it and getting to bounce things back and forth,
Me
because in my
too.
little world, it's like I don't have anyone to talk to. Nobody cares around here.
You,
Maybe
this girl
Ryder is
cares.
actually really into this album. Ryder likes this one
And
because
that
he's
one,
so soulful.
I think that's a big reason too why a lot of people are on this, because Travis was kind of like a gateway for people to get onto her music. And maybe people don't like this depth stuff, but they say, well, if we love Travis and Travis loves her, then I'm sure there's something here. And she's coming universal. And so I definitely think we should do it, talk about it more, another one. I mean, even just breaking down the songs, you know, the lyrics, like I have some notes.
Okay, let's do it. Let's do it. It's new Swifty, old Swifty. I was thinking that could be our title.
I love that. New Swifty, old
New
Swifty.
Swifty, old Swifty. Okay, so Alex, you know, because you watch the Mom Game, but we're gonna close out the show just like we close out every show, which is the double peace signs, and then we say Mom Game out. Ready?
Okay.
One, two, three.
Mom Game out.
Mom Game out.